Hi, we're Grace Life, and we'd love to help you discover Jesus' unconditional love and grace for you.
Faith of Christ. We are justified by faith, not by works. We are made right with God by believing in the finished work and in what Jesus has done, not by doing work. Not by living holy. You're not made right with God because you're a good boy or a good girl. You're made right with God because of what Jesus has done for you, and you're putting your trust in that. That's what a Christian is. A Christian is someone who's put their trust in God and what He's done for them. Amen? So, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So you can try as hard as you want, and you'll never be right with God in and of your own self. You'll never be right with God as long as you're trying. That's why what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11 is so awesome, because He's saying, hey, if you're tired and weary of trying to follow the law, if you're tired and weary of trying to put your effort in to be right with God, come to Me. Jesus is saying, come to Me, because you'll find rest for your souls. You'll find a place of rest. You'll find justification by faith, being made right with God by faith, not by works. It's not by your effort. It's not by your holiness. It's not by your giving. It's not by your church attendance. It's by your faith. Well, some of those things are good for you to build your faith. Amen? But you don't get brownie points with God for that. It just helps you, sets you up to be able to receive from God better. Amen? We looked at it already, but Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 says that we're blessed with all spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. Now here's the liberation in this verse. Is it's past tense, and it's saying you're already blessed. So the Christian should never be trying to get more blessed than what they are, because you're already blessed. And this is saying that you're already blessed, so then the blessing of God in your life is independent of your performance. The blessing of God in your life isn't based on what you do or don't do. The blessing of God is dependent on, have you received it? Okay? And receiving it isn't dependent on your goodness or your performance or anything like this. It's just, hey, thank you, I've got that. You recognize that God's given you that blessing. So blessing is independence of performance. Blessing is because of identity. Because you're now in Christ, you're a new creation and you're blessed. The blessing of God is in your spirit. Now, yesterday we looked at how do we get that out of our spirit, and I think we'll look at a bit more tonight again. But the blessing of God is in our spirit, and we need to get it out into our emotions, into our physical beings. Amen? We don't want it trapped up in our spirit. We want it to affect our emotions. We want it to affect the way that we live. Okay, maybe you don't want it to affect the way that you live, but I'm pretty sure that the blessing of God in the person sitting next to you, you want it to come out of their spirit. Amen? You want them to be more like Jesus. Amen? You want them to possess more love, joy, peace, and power in their lives. Amen? So then, you know, this is for your neighbor this morning. Mark chapter 7 verse 13, it says, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such things, like things do ye. Making the word of God of none effect through your tradition. You know, one of the things that we've got to do in order to experience the power of God, to experience what God's word talks about, is let go of our tradition. And by tradition, I don't mean the way that you do a church service or your Bible study time, or we're talking about just when you're talking about tradition, it's talking about the things that you believe, that you do, and that you believe you should do, that get you closer to God, which actually don't. We're talking about the things that you're doing, the things that you're believing that you have to do in order for God to move in your life, in order for God's blessing to be on your life. Because, truth be told, there's nothing you can do to increase God's presence in your life. You can experience more of the presence, but God is 100% in you. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 17 says that when you receive Christ, you're one spirit with Him. Not 10% Jesus, 90% you. Your spirit is 100% one with Jesus. you get filled with His Spirit, you're filled with Jesus. You're filled with everything that He is. And so you've got the fullness of God inside of you. You need to let it out. But you've got the fullness of God inside of you. And yet religious tradition will make you think that you need to do something to get more of God in you. And when we let go of that religious tradition, it starts to bring freedom because you realize that, hey, I just need to relax. I just need to rest and receive what Jesus has done for me. Now, I'm sure that there's many people here, you've maybe been a Christian for a while and you've gone through different church circles and everything like this, and you know, it's easy to pick up religious baggage along the way. This morning you might need to just kind of stop carrying that religious baggage. You might need to just let go of it and pretend it never happened. Just move on. Yeah. The fact that you can only experience the power of God if you're living holy. It's good to live holy. But it's not dependent on your holiness. You can only be blessed if you do this and that, the next thing. Hey, we've already seen it. You're already blessed. So what can you do to be blessed? Realize that you're already blessed. It's in your head, the problem. It's not in your actions. Christianity isn't a performance-based religion. It's not even a religion. We'll look at it in a moment, but Christianity is not about what you do, it's about what He's done, so you just need to realize what He's done and accept it. Amen? So we've got to let go of a lot of religious traditions, even just about what is Christianity. What is the Christian life? In an effort to say, to kind of break away from religion, some people say Christianity is a lifestyle. It's not. It leads to a lifestyle, a different way of living than the world, but it's not a lifestyle. Christianity isn't about morality. Let me say that again, because some of you were a bit shocked when I said that. Christianity is not about morality, but there is morality in Christianity. But we don't preach morality. What do we preach? The gospel. And as people are transformed and changed, then they start to live a godly life. But we don't start off with, this is the godly life that you have to live. And then they usually attach on for God to be pleased with you. How do you get God pleased with you? Receive Jesus. Be born again. There's no performance in there. It's just receive Jesus. But we're going to look at that in a moment. But what is Christianity all about? Now, I know many of you know this, but I think it's a good reminder for us this morning. It really is all about relationship with God. That's why Jesus came. Okay, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. So what's Christianity all about? Not perishing and having eternal life. He takes us out of the negative and wants to put us into a positive. And what is that positive? It's eternal life. And eternal life isn't just living forever. Eternal life isn't just going to heaven one day. Eternal life can be experienced right now. Okay, John 17:3. This is life eternal, that they may know You, the one true God, and Jesus Christ whom You've sent. Christianity is all about knowing God. Eternal life is knowing God. For God so loved the world that He came to give us eternal life, relationship with God. Christianity is about knowing God, about having a friendship with God, about having the Holy Spirit come and live inside of you to connect you with God, to have a friendship with God so that you can walk with God, you can talk with God, you can get to know God. You can get to know His heart for you. So that when you have those difficult, it's not just for tackling life's challenges with God, but you can tackle life's challenges with God. You know, before life's challenges happen, it's about just knowing God. Just enjoying fellowship with Him. Just enjoying His presence. You're going to do that for eternity, so you may as well start practicing now. Amen? Let's look at John chapter 4, verse 14. John chapter 4, 14. It says, whosoever drinks of this water. Now there's a context to it, and I spoke about it on Friday night. If you weren't here, you can go read the context for yourself. But Jesus is saying, whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into eternal life. And the next verse says, in context, it's talking about the Holy Spirit. It's talking about being born again. When you get born again, you have the Holy Spirit coming and living inside of you. And what Jesus is saying here is when you believe on Him, you receive that Holy Spirit, the streams of living water. We'll look at the verse later. The Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you. And now what is the purpose of being born again and that Holy Spirit? Well, it's a wellspring of water springing up within you to everlasting life, which is knowing God. It's relationship with God. The Holy Spirit's purpose, first and foremost purpose in your life, is to connect you to God and amplify your relationship with Him so that you can know Him more. That's what life is about, knowing God. Not about anything else. It's just about knowing God. Everything else flows from that place of knowing God. So what is Christianity all about? Relationship with God, knowing God. But then it goes further. Christianity is also about this. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 19, it says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which lives in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? This is saying, hey, you are God's dwelling place. God lives in you. Hey, believer, Christian, you have God living inside of you. That's what Christianity is about. It's about knowing God and then becoming one with Him. 1 Corinthians 6:17, once again. Becoming one with Him, but having Him live inside of you. He wants to live inside of us. You're never alone because God is always with you. Amen? Romans 8:11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, make alive your mortal body by His Spirit that dwells in you. The Holy Spirit in you, God living inside of you, is giving life to your mortal body. Okay? You've got God living inside of you. You are God's address. Amen? So Christianity is all about relationship with God, and it's all about having God live inside of you, but it's also about having God living out of you. And that's where most Christians fail. They have God living inside of them, but they don't let Him out of them. Okay? Some of you need to let God live out of you. Let Him out. Okay? The more you let Him out of you, the better ambassador you're going to be for Him. And this is really exciting. John chapter 7, verse 37 and 38. Let's look at it. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. So if you're thirsty, come to Jesus and drink. Okay? Spiritually speaking, next verse. He that believes on me, as the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. So inside of you is the Holy Spirit, and this is streams of living water, the Bible says. Jesus was saying the Holy Spirit is streams of living water. It's not a dam to stay inside of you. It's not a reservoir to stay inside of you. It's like a spring. It's like a fountain. It's streams of living water. It needs to come out of you. It can't just flow inside of you. That's not life. God wants to flow out of you. Why? Because it would refresh you. It will restore you. But it will also touch the lives of the people around you. Okay? That's the purpose of the streams of living water. Galatians chapter 2 verse 20. We're looking at how Christianity is about having God live out of you. Okay, I'm crucified with Christ, which means I'm dead. Amen. Nevertheless, I live. So you're still alive. Amen. Yet not I. So it's not you living. But Christ that lives in you. Once again, it's saying that Jesus is alive inside of you. And now He's living through you. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. So what it's saying is that, hey, Jesus is living in you, but He wants to live out of you. He wants to live through you. Amen. Romans chapter 8, 19 to 21. Romans chapter 8. For the earnest expectation. Now remember, we're looking at what is true Christianity. The earnest expectation of the creature waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. The creation is waiting for us to manifest. Not in a demonic sense. Amen? But manifest in the godly sense because we're possessed with God. You are possessed with God as a Christian. Some of you just haven't surrendered to that possession. We need to surrender to that possession in order for it to just for it to work. And when we surrender to that possession that God's taken residence inside of us, then we need to start letting Him out of us. And that word manifestation is a revealing. It's not a creating. It's a revealing. So something, you can't manifest what isn't there. You manifest what is there. Okay? So you reveal what is, not what, you don't, if you're creating something or manufacturing something, that's a different story. But if you're revealing or manifesting who you are, it's already in existence. So creation is waiting for the manifestation, the revealing of the sons of God, for the children of God. He's waiting, creation is waiting for us to act like children of God, to live out and be children of God, not to be undercover agents for Jesus. Some of you need to leave your secret identity here this morning with your religious baggage and go and stop being a secret agent for Jesus.
Amen.
No one's called ever to be a secret agent for Jesus, even if the church is persecuted. Next verse, verse 20. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of Him who has subjected the same in hope. Verse 21. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. God wants us to live free so that we can also impact creation and help it to live free. He wants us to be able to minister. As a child of God, we should be going into all the world and setting the captives free. That's God's heart. That's what He desires from us. Amen? We've mentioned it already, but 2 Corinthians 5:20. We need to have God living out of us because we're ambassadors of Christ. It's not a pressure for you to have to go and represent Jesus and talk about Jesus. There will be a natural flow as you let it go. Okay? It's something which would naturally happen because you're a child of God. Christianity is all about have a relationship with God. It's all about having God live inside of you, dwell inside of you, and have God living out of you. And that living out of you is really just you being a child of God. So it's not about, like, if you were to kind of look at it like this, it's not about doing, but it's about being. You're called to be, not called to do. But if you focus on your if you focus on who you are, if you focus on your identity, and you realize truly who you are, it should lead to a manifestation as a child of God. It should lead to a thing where all of a sudden you're starting to live more like Jesus and less like the devil. You're starting to live more like the world, less like the world and more like you're living in the kingdom. Okay, so that happens the more you come to realize what already exists. Romans chapter 12 verse 2 says that we're transformed, we're changed by the renewing of our mind. And so we need to change our way of thinking and start to see ourselves like God sees us in order for us to see, when you start to see yourself like God sees you, you'll start to live the way that God created you to live. And we're not talking about just doing, we're talking about being. When you realize your identity, it will lead to action. But that action, I'm not just talking about doing good works. I'm talking about living in joy. I'm talking about living in peace. I'm including those things too, because most Christians, a lot of Christians, maybe not most, but a lot of Christians aren't living in a place of rest and peace. They're still living in this bondage of religious tradition that I need to do something for God, otherwise I'm not going to be pleasing to Him. You don't have to do anything for God. Amen? You need to just realize that you're a child of God. And I mean, because you're born of God, Romans chapter 5 shows us, One John chapter 5 shows us that we're born of God. What does it mean if you're born of God? It means you've got His DNA. What does it mean that you've got His DNA? It means that you can act like God because He is inside of you. His nature is inside of you. His ability is part of who you are now. So you are enabled, you are liberated to be a child of God, to act like a child of God, to live out being a child of God, and it shouldn't be an effort. It should be something that you're just accepted and just relaxed in. It's like, wow, this is... Let me put it like this. I heard someone, a friend of mine, said years back, it's so difficult to be a Christian. It's not. A lot of Christians believe that it's difficult to live for Jesus. It's difficult to live right in this world. It's not. Why is it difficult for so many Christians to live like a Christian or live for Jesus? Because they haven't realized that they're dead, number one. I'm crucified with Christ. And they don't know who they are in Christ. They don't know who Christ is inside of them. And so they're not experiencing that liberation to just be. Because it's all about being. It's not about doing. But being will lead to doing. Okay? So you have his DNA. Romans chapter 8, verse 8 and 9. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Now let's just look at this. This is not talking about a Christian. This is not talking about a Christian. When you read the scripture like this, you need to make sure that you're understanding the context and you're understanding what it's saying. It's not talking about a Christian. It's not saying that, hey, when you as a Christian are living like the devil, you're not pleasing God. Obviously, that's not pleasing to God. Amen? But in your spirit, you're always pleasing to God. What is this saying? Next verse. But ye are not in the flesh. Read the first verse, please. Go back. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God, verse 9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. So when it's talking about being in the flesh, it's talking about an unbeliever. When it's talking about being in the spirit, it's talking about a believer. Okay? Now, it goes on and it speaks in another part. We'll look at the rest of that verse now. But in another part, it's talking about that we shouldn't live after the flesh. You living, as a Christian, you're living in the spirit, but you can live after the flesh. After the flesh means you're living like the devil, but you're in position, you're still in the spirit. An unbeliever is in the flesh, and they can live after the spirit, sometimes better than many Christians. But it's short-lived. The power isn't there to enable them to live after the spirit, to live like Jesus, to live a good life. They have to do it in and of their own self. But as Christians, we're in the Spirit and we're enabled to live after the Spirit. Okay, so, you are not in the flesh but in the Spirit, which means, go back to verse 8 please. If you're in the flesh, you cannot please God. What does it mean then if you're in the Spirit? You please God. And this next verse, verse 9 says, you're not in the flesh but in the Spirit, therefore you please God. Some of you may have come here even this morning think that, hey, I'm not good enough for God and God isn't really pleased with me. He's pleased with you because you're in Christ. Okay? He's not judging you according to your works. He's judging you according to what Jesus has done for you. You just need to believe it, receive it. Okay? So, let's read this verse, verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. So this is also saying that as a Christian, you have God's Spirit living inside of you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So this is saying that if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you're not a Christian. If you have the Spirit of Christ, you are a Christian. And if you are a Christian, you don't just have the Spirit of Christ, but you also have, you're also living in the Spirit, which means you're pleasing to God. Amen? Galatians chapter 5. 22 to 23. Now, we've seen that, hey, being a Christian is all about having God's DNA. It's about being a child of God. And God's Spirit is inside of you. Now, what does God's Spirit in you enable you to do? But the fruit of the Spirit. Now, you've got the Spirit in you. And a fruit, a natural byproduct of having that Spirit in you is, you know, if you plant a seed and an apple tree grows, that apple tree produces apples because it's an apple tree. Okay? You plant whatever tree, fruit tree, it produces fruit after its own kind. Everything in nature is designed to produce after its own kind. You know, if you've ever planted a tree to produce, and it's an olive tree or an apple tree or a banana tree, you don't plant it and then all of a sudden you got the wrong fruit. It's like, oh, I don't know how this happened, but it's actually, you know, it's producing strawberries. Doesn't happen, does it? I've never seen that happen. Where you planted an apple tree and all of a sudden it gave you bananas. It's completely different. In life, did anyone here ever, you know, get a woman get pregnant and then all of a sudden give birth to a kitten? Anyone ever give birth to an animal? Okay, we're not talking about like your children acting badly. We're talking about something that's furry and got a tail. We produce after our own kind. That's, and go read in Genesis. That's how God set it up. That everything produces after its own kind. But now, you're not natural anymore. You were born a human. You were reborn to be like God. And now that you're reborn and you've got God's DNA, you produce after your own kind. And now that means that you the fruit that's going to come out, it doesn't say fruits. It says fruit. This all comes together at the same time. You might feel like you're stronger in love and long-suffering and not got so much faith, but the truth is this all comes and you've got it all. You've got it all. Amen? So a natural byproduct of being a Christian is that you've got the nature of Jesus. This is what the fruit of the Spirit is. A natural byproduct of having Jesus in you is that you've got His nature in you, which means you are full of love. You are full of joy. You are full of peace. You are full of long-suffering or patience. You are full of gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. You are full of the nature of Jesus. You just need to let it out. Most Christians are trying to be like Jesus, trying to possess fruit, trying to produce fruit. You don't need to produce fruit. You don't need to try and manufacture anything. All you need to do is realize who you are, realize what God's put inside of you, and rest. The tree doesn't move around. The tree stays planted. So the seed which God has planted in you, His seed, produces after that kind. It produces God. And when you just relax and let God, you nourish that seed by just discovering who you are in Christ. You water that seed by growing in your relationship with God. You'll find you'll get tempted. You'll have a temptation moment. And the temptation will be, am I going to be loving or am I not? And you're going to be, you have that decision of, I realize that I've already got love in me, but now I can choose. Do I want to be loving? Do I want to be patient? Do I want to be full of joy? Or do I want to just be like the devil? Choose not to be like the devil. Do us all a favor. Amen? Be patient. Be kind. Be like Jesus. So now you've got the fruit, the nature of God in you, and this is what Christianity is about. It's about being like Jesus. Being a child of God. Living it out. And as you grow in your identity and who you are in Christ, it starts to flow stronger and stronger and stronger. The Christian that isn't growing in the nature of God and growing in being or looking like a child of God in their action is a Christian who just isn't gardening their life. They're not watering their heart. They're not planting seed in their heart. They're not growing as a believer. Amen? We need to grow as believers. Otherwise, we just stay where we got saved. You need to continuously grow. Faith comes by hearing, not heard. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word. So the more Word we plant in our hearts and in our lives, the more gospel we receive, the more faith we start to operate in. The more that the fruit of the Spirit starts to come out of us. Okay, what does it mean to be a child of God? We've looked at a lot of stuff, but here's another thing. Luke chapter 10, verse 19. This is how a child of God acts. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Can you bring out the scorpions, please? No, I'm joking. It's talking about the works of the devil. Okay, we're not going to be one of those churches. There's some, but we're not that one. So this is saying, Jesus is saying, I give you power, I give you authority over all the power of the devil, of the enemy. So anything that the devil could bring against you, you've got authority over it. And so living like a child of God is when the devil attacks, when the devil's trying to do his thing in life. James chapter 4 verse 7, you rise up and you go, no. You resist the devil because you're submitted to God, you're a child of God. You resist the devil and he has to flee from you. That's what living like a child of God is. We're destroying the works of the devil. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. And if we're called according to his purpose was to destroy the works of the devil, which means you are called to destroy the works of the devil. What are the works of the devil? Sickness, lack, destruction, chaos, all of that. Okay, John chapter 14, verse 11 to 14. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Next verse. Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he also do, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. We can do the same works that Jesus did and even greater works. That's who you are. That's living as a child of God. Next verse. Verse 13. And whatsoever ye ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Verse 14. And if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And so, being a child of God is, hey, we're exercising the authority and the power of God. We're not manufacturing the power of God. But He's placed His power inside of you, and now you've got His authority to be able to act in His stead. Which means that you go into a situation of chaos and disorder, and you bring order. You bring peace. You bring restoration. You bring healing. You bring wholeness. Because you just say, hey, in the name of Jesus, I declare that this should happen, and it happened. How do I know that you can do that? Well, Acts chapter 3. You got Peter going to the temple. He sees a guy who can't walk. And what does he say to him? In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. That's what it's saying. Ask anything in my name and I'll do it. In his authority, his power, you're releasing it. Okay? Acts chapter 1 verse 8. You receive power in the Holy Spirit. Comes upon you, and you'll be witnesses in the whole world unto Jesus. Basically. So we're full of God. A Christian is someone who's a witness wherever they go. You're so full of God that everywhere you're going, you're just letting Him out. We need to stop being full of ourselves. And the more you realize you're dead to self, the more you realize that you've been crucified with Christ, the more you can start to let Him flow out of you. The more you start to walk as a child of God. This is what true Christianity is about. Letting Him out. Okay, so it's about relationship with God. And I want to encourage you, if you've never entered into that relationship, if you've never received Jesus and made a decision to be a Christian, then we will pray for you after the service. You can just come and just tell us that you want to receive Christ, and we'll pray for you. And it's just an awesome moment where you get born again. Okay, but then for all of us who have relationship with God, I want to encourage you to grow in your relationship with God. Don't just be a Sunday Christian. I think it's important that you do be a Sunday Christian and you do go to church, because church is good for you. But we also need to be a Christian on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday too. It's not just about being a Christian on Facebook and on Sundays. Amen? We've got to be Christians Monday to Saturday as well. And in the world, when you're dealing with the petrol attendant, and when you're buying something at the store, and just the way you treat people and the way that you love them, we've got to include that in being a Christian, because that's most of our life. We've got to be a Christian in the way that we're generous towards people. Amen. Amen. It's being a witness wherever we go. So grow in your relationship with God by spending time with Him. In the Word, listening to good teaching, praying, talking to Him. You know, you might say, I don't really have any time to myself. And I understand that, especially if you're a mom. But how many people, not too many people, will bug you when you're on the loo, right? Those few minutes, cherish them. Cherish them. I'm being honest. I remember when I was in a Bible Bible school thing, it was 24/7, so you had like, I was staying in a room with 10 other guys, and Angelo was one of them, and there was no space in the whole house. They'd converted the double garage into a bedroom for us, and the house was filled with 10 girls, and it's like, where are you going to find quiet? And I remember complaining about this to my life group leader, and he said, how many people bug you when you're on the loo? And I said, no one. He said, well, just go in there, close the door. You don't have to do anything except spend time with God. They don't need to know what's happening. And so every morning I would do that. I would even take a pillow and sit on the floor. Yeah, you just be creative in spending time with God, because that's where you're going to grow. Yeah, put your earphones in and listen to the audio Bible, or listen to some good teaching as you're driving somewhere, or as you're walking somewhere, or as you're cleaning, or whatever you're doing, as you're working, if you have that ability to do that. Yeah, but you've got to realize true Christianity is about this relationship, so we want to grow in this relationship. We have God living inside of us, but now we want to let Him out of us, and the only way to let Him out of us, being a child of God, is to realize who we are, and realize what we've got, and realize that we can be loving, realize that we can lay hands on the sick and see them recover, realize that we can, live like Jesus did. That's what Jesus was saying when He said, you can do the same works that I did and even greater works. Jesus was saying, you can live like Me. You've been empowered and enabled to live like Jesus. Amen?
Yes.
I think that's exciting. I think that's awesome. And the more of us that realize this and accept this truth, the more revival we'll have. You know, we're not waiting. We said it, Philip said it at Solari's past Freedom Night. I said it this weekend at the Freedom Conference. We're not waiting for a move of God. God's waiting for a move of the church. Just wave at me for a second. You just witnessed a move of God. That's a move of God. Because God moves when we move. When we start to be the children of God, live like children of God, realize what we've got, and that we can just be loving and joyful and peaceful and powerful. When we realize that, it enables us to be able to be actually let that fruitfulness out of us. Amen? Let's stand up together. Father, we want to thank You that You've put Yourself inside of us, that we've got You living inside of us, which means we're never alone. I really just feel on my heart straight away that there's somebody here that you've really been struggling with loneliness. Everyone just close your eyes for a minute. There's somebody here, you've been struggling with loneliness. It's been quite severe. You miss the companionship that you had. You're just kind of not used to being by yourself. And I just feel God saying, hey, I know that you know that I'm always with you, but I'm with you to help you through the loneliness. I'm here to comfort you. I'm here to have fun with you. God's a real person. You can enjoy Him like you would just anybody else. Holy Spirit, I just thank You that You minister to that individual right now, that You just bring restoration, You bring wholeness in their heart and in their life, and that they would just begin to realize what they've got. They would begin to realize that You are with them, that You're ministering to them, that You're helping them not to be lonely, Father. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Father, that we would all realize what we've got in You. That we don't have to just suffer through this life, but we can live like Jesus did. Be victorious. Yes, there might be persecution on the way, and that might be some form of suffering, but hey, we don't have to suffer like the world suffers. We don't have to suffer what they suffer with. We're above only and not beneath. We're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We've got the greater One living inside of us. We've got authority over all the work of the devil. Anything he throws against us, we're bigger than it, because Jesus is inside of us. Thank You that we can have friendship with You, Father. And that friendship that we have with You is something real. That we don't have to wait for eternity to enjoy Your presence. We can enjoy Your presence right now. And so, Holy Spirit, even now, we just invite You to minister to our hearts. We invite You to refresh, to restore, to release. Just to minister into every area that needs ministry right now. Whatever you've come with this morning, whatever you're needing ministry into, whatever area that is, just picture that in your mind as your eyes are closed, and invite God into that situation. I believe for some this morning, you need to let go of the past. You need to let go of what's happened. You need to let go of the bad, maybe even some of the good. You just need to move on. And God's saying, hey, I'm not in your past. I'm not even in the future. I'm in the now. But you'll only get into the future if we walk together. So stop living in the past. Stop living in what happened yesterday, the good, the bad, and the ugly. You can only live free if you let go. For some of you, I believe that means forgiving people. I just feel on my heart right now, you know, God's not holding anything against you, even your unforgiveness towards someone. But what you need to do right now for your benefit is just let go of that bitterness and that hurt towards that person who hurt you or those people. And you need to move on. Look forward to the future filled with hope that God's got for you. Look forward to the prosperous future that God's got for you. You can't walk into the future as long as you're holding on to the hurts of the past. If you're here and you already had someone's name pop up in your mind or in your heart that you need to just forgive, you don't need to go to them right now. You just need to go to God right now and just say, Father, I forgive that individual. They hurt me, it was wrong, but I let it go. And you're going to experience freedom in your life as you let go. As long as you're holding on to that bitterness and that unforgiveness, you will never walk in freedom. Never. You'll try. You'll experience a little bit, but you'll never live in the fullness of all that God's got for you. Let it go. Move on. Thank you, Father.
We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to talk to someone, or if you'd like us to pray with you, please contact us on 021-880-168 or at info@gracelifeministries.co.za. If you'd like to order more resources or find out more about us, you can visit our website at gracelifeministries.co.za. We'd also love to connect with you on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube.